This is Ozarks at Large. The Cherokee Nation is looking for boundary markers that were placed in what is now Oklahoma nearly 150 years ago. The markers are just as important now as they were then. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek went to Wagner County, Oklahoma, to find out why.
We bounce along a narrow road behind a silver Chevy Tahoe with a Cherokee Nation license plate. Pat Gwynn, the Cherokee Nation's Senior Director of Environmental Resources, is taking us to see one of the boundary markers that sits near the banks of Fort Gibson Lake outside Wagner, Oklahoma.
It's just like 100 yards or so this way, but I need to get my bearings. And it's hard, because it's growing up in a tree, it's really hard to spot.
We follow Gwynn into the woods on foot, weaving through trees and briars.
This is really the only place we get to find them anymore is where it's kind of forgotten about.
We don't have to go far before Gwynn spots the marker.
Ah, got it.
The post easily blends into its surroundings.
That's it.
That's it.
Gwynn says these types of markers were installed by the U.S. General Land Office, the precursor to the Bureau of Land Management. The GLO was created in 1812 and oversaw the surveying, platting, and sale of public lands in the western U.S.
Remember, this was still Indian territory when this was done. So this was... there was no cadastral survey here, you know, like now we have section such and such and, you know, quarter section this, quarter section that. These do not fall on those lines. So they don't correspond with what people would say are modern day normal survey markers.
In this case, Gwynn says the GLO used the markers to designate the boundary between the Cherokee and Creek Nation territories after both tribes were pushed into what is now Oklahoma.
The Creeks and the Cherokees have always squabbled about, you know, land. You know, pre-removal, we squabbled, and post-removal, we squabbled. And the line between Oklahoma and Arkansas was really contentious because the white folks in Arkansas, they wanted more land, and, of course, the Cherokees didn't want to give them more land. So it was, so you had to have a kind of a neutral third party put these in.
The GLO used a variety of survey monuments to designate different boundaries. So Gwynn says the marker near Wagner is very different from the markers used along the Arkansas-Oklahoma line.
They're completely different.
Oh, okay, what makes them, how are they different?
Okay, they are about yay tall, and they are more, they're squarish. And on one side, they say Arkansas. On the other side, they will either say Choctaw or Cherokee.
The monument we're looking at is round and tapered with a pointed cap at the very top that Gwynn says was likely pressed in once the post was in the ground.
The only thing this one says, and I hope this one actually says it, I can't remember. Is there an M over there?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, there's an M. That's the there, and nobody knows what the M stands for.
So do all of these have an M?
They all have an M.
And we don't know what
I'm assuming, let me rephrase, I'm guessing it stands for meridian.
The marker is 5 feet tall and made of iron.
It almost sounds solid, but obviously it's not solid because of that.
Gwynn taps on it with a pocket knife.
If you knock on it, you know it's at least a quarter inch. And if it's a half inch and it's that long, you know it's going to be several hundred pounds.
Gwynn says the GLO began putting in these types of survey monuments in the mid-1800s.
We've seen some of them that have dates like 1840-ish. And then the latest ones are like 1877. Remember, those are the Arkansas side. So the Arkansas side may be a lot newer, maybe a lot older, we don't know. I'm assuming the Arkansas side is newer because they've got riding, you know, they're machined. These are almost look like they're forged.
Gwynn says the GLO installed about 309 of the round monuments. So far, the Cherokee Nation has been able to locate about a dozen of them. At first, Gwynn says, they thought they were placed 5 miles apart, but now they believe they were put in every mile.
It's cool that you wanted to see this one because this is the one that proved the fact that it was they're a mile away. So, and since then, we found several others that have been a mile away.
Gwynn says they were able to find the monument he showed us after a recent Cherokee Nation Facebook post garnered information about another marker located a mile south.
The one that we went to last week, which is the one a mile south of here, the guy shows it to us, you know, and we get all of our GIS data on it. And I said, Kevin, let's go 5 miles. He says, well, let's just do 1 mile. And I said, they're every 5 miles, Kevin. So he says, no. So we went ahead and do 1 mile. Well, 1 mile the other way. It's in the middle of a swamp. We can't get to it. 1 mile this way, boom, we find it. So we now think they are every 1 mile.
Gwynn says when they find one marker, they go searching for others if it's possible to get to them.
I mean, a lot of them are in very remote areas, so we'd have not had a chance to go to all of them. Right. It'd be a monumental endeavor. I mean, this one's really close to a road, you know. If we would have went to the other one, you know, that's a mile off the beaten path. You go south of here and you get into what's called the Chaska Bottoms, which is nothing but swamp.
And it's likely a lot of the markers are just gone. Gwynn says some of them would have been placed where the city of Tulsa is now. And while it's a long shot, the Cherokee Nation would like to find any monuments that survived in that area, or at least gather information about them.
If you look at the line between the Creek Nation and the Cherokee Nation in Tulsa, you know, you have a lot of people that will quote, you know, just kind of off the cuff say, well, the dividing line is Admiral. Well, when you actually look at what the survey data says, it's really not Admiral, and it's not exactly straight.
Gwynn says the existence of the monuments could make a big difference in what portions of the city fall within each tribe's boundaries, which impacts economic development.
You know, what has always been considered the boundary, which, you know, Admiral Boulevard or Admiral Place, it is not. So finding these would be a huge coup.
Okay.
So for both tribes, by the way.
That's because Gwynn says the GLO survey monuments trump any land surveys that came after them. So if anyone comes across a marker in Tulsa or elsewhere, the Cherokee Nation would like to know about it.
All they do is they call the Cherokee Nation and we'll probably come out that next day because, yeah, these are important. And, you know, the way things are, some people, once it's been out there, we want to at least get the data on it. So if it does get vandalized thereafter, you know, we always have the data on it.
Gwynn says they're also interested in information about any monuments that may have been removed. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zuzana Sitek.
If by any chance you found a boundary marker or have information about one, you can call the Cherokee Nation. Their number, area code 918-453-5567.